Let's pray. Father, we commit our way to you this morning. Thank you for your hand upon us. We pray as we think again in the practical realm of how to share the gospel or how to share our faith, how to share our testimony, that you would meet us to be good ambassadors, to be good witnesses, to be good disciples. And Lord, may what we say come from a heart of love. May it flow out. Lord, may we want to talk of you because we love you and we want others to know about you. And you've saved us from our sin and you've set us free and you've given us a new life. You've made us a new creation. And we cannot help but want to tell others about it. Lord, meet us to be vibrant and joyful. And again, Lord, we know you have much work to do in all of us, and we thank you for your good patience toward us, your loving kindness, in Jesus' name, amen. So most of you are pretty young. I'm pretty old, unfortunately, but anyway. Struggles continue. Alan McWhite mentioned that the other day. I just want to say, if you're going to wait until you're perfect or until you're more mature, dream on. The struggles continue. You'll never quite get there. You know, well, next year I'm going to share my faith when I feel more confident, or I'll have better understanding, or I'll wait till I've gone through Bible school, or until I don't struggle with this and struggle with that. I mean, it carries on. So we need the Lord all the time. I think as you get older, it's been my experience, the Lord begins to show more and more how basically decrepit and, you know, deep our sin really goes. And you're like, oh man. And you get more of an appreciation for God's grace and mercy. I could tell you a number of illustrations in that regard, but I want to try to stay on task here. Yesterday, we talked briefly, very much briefly, about how to share the gospel. I was mentioning to some afterwards that normally we might go through this in a whole week at school here. This isn't a 45-minute little class, but it takes time. But just to recap briefly, how to share the gospel. Think of it, four stages. Basically 4 points, if that can help you. I want to tell them about the Lord. I want to tell them about God, who he is. But then when I think about the Bible, Genesis going down, it starts with who the Lord is and his creation. He is the creator. And then it shows us sin, brings sin in pretty quickly. But man is sinful and separated, so he cannot really know God as he ought. And he cannot experience God's love or know him personally because he's separated. And that's the bad news. And then as you go through, and that's kind of communicated through, clearly through the Old Testament, the shadows of Jesus Christ in the Old, for sure. But when you get to the Gospels, it's plain and clear, God's only solution. And, you know, I'm sure you've seen how much does God really love us. And he opens up his hands and he dies for us. And in the Gospels, you really see clearly that Jesus Christ saves us from our sin and brings us to God and causes us to become a new creation, takes us from darkness to light. But that's all good knowledge. That's all good truth. But, you know, the truth needs to become a reality in your life, in my life, and there needs to be a response. Now, the response can be, I don't want to know. I'm not ready. That's fine. I don't understand. Fine. I remember, you know, and I'm sure maybe at times you will experience this. You can tell this person's not really interested or not really ready to move on. And then sometimes in my experience, you know, but I'm like way older than most of you. So when you get to my age and you're standing up here, you'll be able to tell these stories. I remember one time, it was the first time, you know, my experience, I remember sharing with someone and I got to that point and I said, so do you understand, you know, that Jesus is the only way, and but this is just knowledge and you got to respond. And the person said to me, yeah. And I could just see they're almost crying. I'm like, ooh. So would you like to like pray? And they said, yes. And I'm like, oh, what do I do? Like, I was so, like, are you sure? And I was almost the wrong way. Like, you do? And there was, it was like, I had known that person for a little bit and I kind of knew their background and they just wanted to come to know the Lord that night. And I fumbled through it with them and again, you know, I kind of did the best and I said, well, do you want me to pray and you can just say what I say? And they said, yeah. And I'm like, oh, man. Okay. So I got to lead the way through the prayer. And so you'll kind of know, but they need, the response is important. So I don't want to go any more. I wish we could spend a lot more time. So why don't you just come back? Why don't you come to school here and we can go through it in more detail? There you go. That would be good. So what do we want to do today? We want to talk about how to share your testimony. And what we said yesterday, the sharing of the gospel, incorporates into all of this. So to make things a little easier, I've made some slides. Hopefully we can work through this together briefly this morning because I want to pray again at the end, two by two. We'll talk about that later. But think about this. Number one, the goal of your testimony, the goal of my testimony. And by the word testimony, don't be like spun around like, woohoo, what does that even mean? I mean, I can hardly spell the word. A couple of times I was typing the word out and of course the spell check helped me out. I mean, so testimony is just like, just telling someone about your life in Jesus Christ. That's what it means, okay? So your testimony must or should put all the focus really on the Lord and not on yourself. Now, you have to speak about yourself, but you're pointing people to the Lord. You're not going to save anyone. The Lord's going to do the saving, and you want that person to learn to walk with the Lord. You don't want to be between them and the Lord. They need to learn to walk with the Lord, okay? So as you share your testimony, make sure the Lord is high and lifted up as you speak about it. He is the focus. Make it all about Him, okay? That's something we need to think about when we are going to share our testimony. Because it's easy if you've had a really perhaps rough background or a dramatic conversion, you can make it all about you. Oh, then God saved me. Don't you think I'm great? And you know, and again, that's not good. So key verse for us, John 3:30. You can turn there, but I put it up in two different versions. It says this. This is John the Baptist speaking. He said, He must increase, that's the Lord, that's Jesus Christ. I must decrease. So as you learn to walk with God, as you know the Lord, you want to make sure that He's becoming more and I'm becoming less important, less noticed, okay? He must become more, I must become less. That's what John the Baptist said. So a lot of the focus at that time, early on in that gospel, was on, wow, John the Baptist, John the Baptist, John the Baptist, John the Baptist. But he said, no, it's not about me. It's about Him. It's always about Him. Now, that's by way of introduction. So again, if you don't want to write, I mean, if you write this down and you don't get it all, you can come and see me later if you want it. So let me say this. There are different ways that God can use your testimony, your experience with God, your walk with God. And there's also different types of testimonies. I've just thrown up five here. And of course, blue's important. So today we're going to be talking more about giving your conversion testimony, how you came to know God, how you came to know the Lord. That's what I'm going to concentrate on. There's other kinds of testimony. Someone might say, hey, can you give a testimony regarding who the Lord is? And you get to stand up and you say, God is holy. I've noticed, you know, as I read the word, that clearly God has a steadfast love. And you could testify about the character of God. You can also testify about how you're learning to forgive other people, how to deal with maybe bitterness in your heart. That could be a testimony, okay? And you can use some verses, and that's a kind of a testimony. You can give a testimony about your prayer life. My prayer life is almost non-existent. Or, you know, I'm learning to pray. I don't pray as much as, you know, I could ask someone to come up and give a minute testimony about prayer, or about their prayer life. So, okay. A testimony showing how important the Bible is to you. There's all kinds of testimonies, but we're focusing in on the conversion testimony, okay? So that's that. Sorry, I'm moving pretty quickly. So the main chapter we're going to go to, the only chapter we're going to go to, Acts chapter 26. Paul shares his conversion testimony. And we see, this is the whole thing here, and we see three parts to Paul's clear conversion testimony. It's about the whole chapter. There's some introduction, first three verses, which is super helpful. We're going to read some of it. We won't read through it all, but I want you to see three parts. Yesterday we did four parts, so it gets easier today. We're just doing three. How to share the gospel, God, man, Christ, response. How to share my testimony, conversion, before, how I met Christ, afterwards. Try to think through that. So Paul shares clearly in this testimony in Acts 26, his life before he came to know the Lord, before he got saved. Then in Acts chapter 26, 12 to 18, he actually communicates how he came to know the Lord. And then he goes on in 19 to 23 to talk about what happened after he got saved, which is really interesting. And then the chapter's not over. It continues on from 24 to 32, and there's this interaction, discussion regarding his testimony between him and those people that are listening to him. That's in green because green stands for growth, and hopefully something's happening here. God is using his testimony, okay? So before, how, after, and then there's some discussion. There may not be, but in this particular chapter there is. So if you have your Bible, which you should have a Bible, because it's hard to walk with God without an actual Bible. Again, just encourage you to open up your Bible to Acts chapter 26. Now, here Paul has been arrested. I'm not going to go into all the background but Paul has been arrested and he is on his way to Rome. He gets an opportunity to speak before King Agrippa. And notice in verse 1 of chapter 26, then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself. What do you want to say?" What an opportunity. What an open door. I'll give my testimony. What do you want to say? You have permission to speak. Remember, he's under arrest. He's before this king, and you'll see later there's some other important people listening. And he's aware of his audience. Like, I'm aware of my audience. I have in the audience super duper intelligent teenagers. Maybe. Maybe not. But I'm aware of the audience. So now, if I was speaking at the prayer conference, I'd be aware of the audience and I wouldn't be standing up here in my jeans, for starters. And I would tailor what I say not so kind of, you know, lackadaisical, kind of, you know, easy peasy. I'd be much more serious. Anyway, so he's aware of his audience and he's thinking, okay, Lord, I'm reading into it a little bit. I'll share my testimony. Why are you in prison? Why are you under arrest? So you have permission to speak? So he begins. I'm going to go to verse 4. Listen to, so verse 4, you can see it in your Bible, verse 4 to 11, this is all about before he came to know the Lord, and he identifies what he wants to say with the people that are listening to him. He says, "The Jews will know the way I have lived ever since I was a child." Notice that. "From the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem." He was a child in Jerusalem at some point as he was trained. His father was a Pharisee and so on. Verse 5, "They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee." In other words, I obeyed the law completely. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. O King, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. What hope is he talking about? He's going to get there. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? He's bringing in things. Then he says, this is all before. I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem on the authority of the chief priests. I put many of the saints in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. This is his life before. Many a time I went to one synagogue to another to have them punished. I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to the foreign cities to persecute them. And he's moving towards how he met Christ. So he's giving context. He understands they will identify with what he's saying. He's not talking above their heads. He's talking to them. And that's important as we think about our testimony. Let me just put this slide up. I've got to do that. But this before section, before he got saved, he shares about his life before Christ. Things that are relevant to those that are listening. You know, if you're talking to someone and you know they love sports, you can bring that in a lot, you know. You know, I just kind of was so caught up with this. I wanted to be a famous athlete and this and that, and that just dominated my life or whatever. But he's looking to connect and wanting those who hear to be able to identify with what he's saying. Okay? So if I'm speaking to a 7-year-old kid, I'm not going to say, man, so have you read Gruden's theology book? You know, I was like, huh? I'm going to speak to him more about, like, you know, what I might ask the question, you know, do you believe in God? And just see what they might say. But you're trying to identify and share things that are going to be relevant, but they're always true with those that you are speaking to. So there's this before section, all right? So I mentioned that. Then amazingly, in this testimony in chapter 26, he talks about how he got saved. He shares about how he met Christ, how he got saved, how Christ revealed himself to Paul. He doesn't say all this, but the implications are that he became a new creation. He had a new heart and he was forgiven. And all that is part of coming to know Christ. But again, I want you to see that the things that he says to them in this section of how he got saved, or if you like, when he got saved, it's relevant to those who are listening. He's looking to connect and wanting those to hear to be able to identify. Now, I got saved when I was 23. I can remember the night. Some of you don't. Some of you can remember the day, the night, the moment. Some of you can't, and that's fine. I'm not, you know, but think about, again, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Sometimes, you know, when you've heard all about Christianity and God your whole life, you kind of like, can't really identify exactly when I got saved, but you can at least still express when generally it was and how it may have happened, how you knew that you got saved. You don't have to know the date, the time, the hour, where you were exactly. Maybe if you do, that's good. But you'll notice in this section, I'm going to read to you 12 to 18 briefly. He says, remember, he says this, I was on my way to persecute people in foreign cities. On one of those journeys, they're listening to him, and he's aware they're listening to him. I was going to Damascus with the authority and the commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, I was on the road and I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Verse 15, then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. He mentions Jesus. The second time he's mentioned Jesus in this, he mentioned him in the before and the how. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. And I have appeared to you and appointed you as a servant and as a witness of what you have now seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people, from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes. He's telling his testimony, but he's preaching the gospel. He's sharing the gospel. I mean, there's a bit of overlap here. That's good. Use your testimony to share the gospel. Okay, look what he does here. He says, now, I will rescue you from your own people, from Gentiles. I'm sending you to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and place those among who are sanctified by faith in me. That brings us to the how. And in that, he basically speaks about Jesus Christ directly numerous times. Now, I'll tell you a quick story. Years ago, I was in Austria, in Vienna. I was on a summer evangelism team, a group of us from different countries. When I was with OM, we would spend like 3 weeks together, and we would go out doing personal evangelism. In the evenings, we had the permission to set up a stand and do a display on the main walking streets. You needed to get permission. We had that. I was the team leader, so I had to speak more than the others. And we had all these dramas, and I mean, I'm speaking about things that are a while ago. Sketchboards, all this kind of stuff to grab a big crowd. And we had a crowd about this size. We did this amazing kind of drama thing where everyone's doing all these arm things and ducking, and I mean, people just flock around. They're like, whoa, that's awesome. I'm sure you've seen that in the big cities. You know, you see people statue. If I had more time, I'd stand here for an hour, but I don't. Anyway, I'm not very good at that anyway. So we had this, and we got all these people. And it was my opportunity to, when that was done, to come forward and speak to the crowd. And it was like kind of like this. Now, in amongst the crowd were our team, so they're scattered in there. And I started to say, you know, the reason we do these things and we want to communicate with you is we want to tell you about God. And it was fine. Everyone was good. And about what God has done in our lives and that how we can walk with God. Now, we're in Austria, so again, Europe and so on. And so then I started to talk about sin a little bit, and maybe one or two people walked away. You know, but we're separated from God. And then I got to the point where I said, and God has, I can't remember the words I used, so it wasn't quite like this, but for the sake of this, I'll say, and God has only one way that we can be saved or we can know him. There's only one way we can know him, and it's through his son, Jesus Christ. And as soon as I said Jesus Christ, everyone left. That was amazing to me. Not everyone, because scattered in there were our team members, thankfully. I mean, I'm like, now, I had a translator who was Austrian, and he's speaking in German as I'm speaking. So I had time to see all this. So I'm saying, and God's only way is through Jesus Christ. And then everyone just, they didn't have to translate it. They, oh, this is about Jesus Christ. And they all left. One guy stayed. And there was maybe six of our team members, so like maybe three there and one guy and three, so it wasn't totally it didn't look that bad, like if everyone just left. So, and I thought, okay, wow, what do I do, Lord? So I thought, okay, I'm going to finish my presentation. So I spoke, and at the end of it, I kind of came forward, and I went up to him, and I said, hey, you know, my name is this, what's your name? And we spoke for a little while, and he was kind of interested. I thought one person stayed, and we got to talk to him. Everyone else left at the name of Jesus Christ. It's important to realize that, man, there's a big divide there, but don't be ashamed of that. You know, that's often important to mention, and Paul does that in how he got saved, how he met Jesus Christ, how he came to have Jesus Christ come into his life. So the how is important, and then we'll notice in the third part, he then goes on in the discussion. In his testimony, he shares about his life after Christ, his walk with God now. And again, here, when you're sharing your testimony at times, make it personal. Mention the importance of perhaps the Bible in your life. That you still sin. I mean, you want to identify. I'm like not perfect, but I do know God's daily forgiveness. God will forgive me when I, you know. And you heard a lot about that last night. Perpetual sin, as in dealing with your sin. But it is true that I have a new heart. I have a new person, a new purpose. I am a new person. And this last sentence is very important. And I'm living now for something greater than myself. I'm no longer living for myself. I'm living for something greater than myself. What am I living for? Early on in my Christian life, the Lord led me to this particular verse. Not directly, I was just reading. I'm like, oh, there it is. That's the answer to the question I had when I was 7 years old. Wow. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Stephen, do you have your Bible with you? Could you read that verse for us nice and loud? You got a big booming voice. Isaiah 43, 7. I remember reading, I'm like, unbelievable. There it is. And I remember thinking, thank you, Lord. Wow. What is the purpose of why you were created? Why did God create you? God tells you. Can you read that? Okay. And can you go back again and read the first part? Whom I have created for my glory. Now that's a good, full answer. But think about it. God created you for his glory, for you to display who he is to others. What is the purpose of your life? What are you living for? You know, if you just live for yourself, you know, I remember being your age, kind of, sort of, and thinking, yeah, I'm going to buy a house and I'm going to buy a boat and I'm hopefully going to be a professional soccer player. And then when I realized that wasn't happening, I'm going to be a professional sports soccer commentator. And that didn't happen. And then I came to know the Lord. And then, thankfully, I have something greater to live for than myself. Think about that. And I remember, again, I must have been about 24 then, because I got saved when I was 23. And I remember reading that. I'm thinking, I had that question when I was 7, 8 years old. And it stayed with me as I went through my teenage years. Every now and again, I would do things. And I'd, you know, maybe once every couple of years, feeling completely unfulfilled and frustrated. Like, what am I here for? And then one day, after I came to know the Lord, understanding that I could know God, I read this verse. I was created. God created me for his glory. Wow. What does that mean? We don't have time to think about that right now, but think about that. Did you know that God created you for his glory? So what you heard last night with choices and different things, especially that last one, again, making choices that will bring honor to God. That's what it means. You were created to glorify, to display, to show the magnificence of who God is to other people. That's why he left you here. He could have taken you home to be with him now, but he left you here. See those flowers? Some of you maybe can't see them, but see those flowers? Aren't those beautiful? You know, and we're supposed to display, and people see us, and again, we're imperfect. We understand that. And we can say, no, look at God. Don't look at me, but that doesn't cut it. When I was looking at Christianity and wondering if this was true, I looked at these people I met at the church and I judged who God was or what Christianity is on their lives. I just looked at them. And I remember one guy said, no, don't look at me. I'm terrible. I'm like, what am I supposed to look at? I can't see God. How am I supposed to know anything? I read the Bible. It means nothing. I don't understand anything. Of course I'm looking at you. And what an opportunity. Now, again, your life is lived. But with our mouths, we must testify. Okay, and so here, Paul says in 19 to 23, I'll read some of it, maybe not read all of it. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision, it's verse 19, from heaven, First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and to all Judea and to the Gentiles also I preach that they should repent, turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. Now, what's he doing? He's telling Agrippa what he did, but he's testifying about his new life. Okay? And you can do that. And someone might say to you, I don't want to hear anymore. Okay, fine. We're good. Verse 22, but I have had God's help to this very day. He speaks about God helping him, meeting him, strengthening him. And so I stand here and I testify to small or insignificant, he doesn't mean small people, and great alike, very significant people, kings. He's thinking about maybe the gods that are in there, the servants that are bringing them food. More. Oh, yes. He's thinking about all these people. Those are the small people. He's aware of his audience. You never know. I tell young people all the time, you know who's watching you? Mr. Harris's kids. They're watching you. I can't think of all the other kids. You know the grow kids, when they come around, they're watching you. Tell the students all them, they're watching you. Yeah, but don't look at me, look at God. Ding, that doesn't work. You know who's watching me? You. I mean, what, you know, we just, you know, your life counts now. It counts. How you live. Think again about that. I created you. God said with absolute splendor, I created you for my glory. What a privilege. I want you to think about that sentence again. Are you, and ask yourself this question, even now at this point, are you living for something greater than yourself? Oh boy, we need that. If you just live for yourself and you're self-dominated, self-absorbed, self-motivated, it just is, it's a dead end, you know? It's a spiral down into just disaster. Learning to live for something greater than yourself is a wonderful thing. Live for the glory of God, because God created you for that, and he's working toward that. All right, lastly, this discussion they have, I want to try to get to this discussion they have, this interaction regarding Paul's testimony. Remember, he's spoken about before, how he came to know the Lord, and then he spoke about afterwards. I know I'm rushing through this, but he said, this is what I did after I came to know the Lord. I began to tell people about Christ and tell them they need to repent, and he's getting that in. I began to walk with God. I began to testify to who God was, because he had a new heart. He couldn't help it. But then there's this interesting, and I'm not going to read through the whole thing, interaction. And four things I want to note. Note, a conversation takes place. That's good. So I give my testimony. And maybe they say, well, what do you mean by that? Great. Well, I don't believe what you have to say. Fine. Now, the king doesn't believe. But Paul still gave his testimony. Remember, the results belong to God. God does the converting, not you. Your job is to be a faithful witness, to testify, to tell people the good news. Note, it's clear those listening, that Paul is telling them, those that are listening to Paul, that he's telling them about Jesus Christ. The center is on Christ, not Paul. Remember, we said in the beginning, make your testimony about the Lord, or make it about Jesus Christ, not about you. Paul mentions he will pray for them. I'll note that. And then Paul also mentions a time frame. He says short or long. It may be short. It may be a long time. Because the Lord must do the work. He must do the converting. So let's look at a couple of these verses. And we're doing pretty good here, I guess, on time. So this conversation that takes place, it's a really interesting chapter, chapter 26. Verse 24 says, at this point, Festus interrupts Paul's defense or testimony. Hey, you're out of your mind, man. What are you talking about? That's what he says to him, basically. We can use the unabridged message Bible at this point, seeing as it mentioned last night. But what's wrong with you? I mean, you're crazy, man. What are you talking about? He shouted at him, your great listening is driving you insane. What are you talking about? But is he, you know, and you will get challenged. That's okay. He just shared the gospel. He just gave his testimony. I wish, and actually I think it's really good that they don't just say, oh, wow, let me pray. Because often that's never going to happen. Sometimes here I would ask people, hey, tell me your testimony. And it's over in like 30 seconds. I'm like, whoa, that, like, surely God's done more than that in your life. And I say, tell me before. Tell me how you came to know the Lord. And tell me now where you're at. If you're in my shepherding group, and I say this because Ethan's there. He was in my shepherding group this past year. But like, we have these shepherding groups at EI. And they're like 50 minutes long or 45 minutes. And I say, so once we do these once a month. I said, okay, we're going to start with this first year, third year student, second year student, first year student, and then me. So you're going to tell us your testimony next shepherding group. And it needs to be about 30 minutes. 30 minutes? Yeah. And I prep them. I tell them, you bring the food and you tell the testimony. So they've got something else to think about. So I don't get too stressed out. 30 minutes? Yeah. I mean, come on. Give me some background. Tell me how you came to know the Lord and tell me afterwards what's happening. Like most people's testimonies, we were taught in OM, if someone came and they wanted to join the work, hey, tell us your testimony. And to see what they say. I mean, most testimonies are over in 25 seconds. I think they can be, you know, helpful to communicate who God is and what he's done in your life and so on. Now, you may not get through it all again. You may even get to first point and people walk away. Or people don't want to hear anymore, and that's fine. But listen to, again, this response, this discussion, this interaction. Paul is not put off by this. Let me recover verse 24 again in the message A1 translation. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense, says, you're out of your mind. You're crazy. What are you talking about? Your great learning, I mean, it's driving you crazy and insane, and you're an idiot. What are you saying? Don't quote me on that. That's not quotable. But basically, I mean, he just got smashed. Paul responds, I'm not insane, most excellent Festus, very respectful, which he needed to be. Paul replied, what I am saying to you is true, and it is reasonable, my version says. Isn't that great? He has a conviction. He has a sure heart. This is real for me. It's real. It's true. And he says to Festus, and it's reasonable. And the king, and then he looks to the king. This is King Agrippa. So Festus bumps in there, and then he looks to the king and he says this. The king is familiar with all these things. And I can speak freely with him. And I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice. So Paul's trusting that God is working. God opened the door in the first place. Remember the very first verse? King Agrippa says to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. Okay, thank you. We don't force this, but when the door opens, take it. Tell him about the Lord. Then he goes on. And he says to him, let me see where I am. Yeah, I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it has not been done in a corner or in the dark. King Agrippa, he asks, do you believe the prophets? He's going back to the Old Testament. I know you do. Then Agrippa replies eventually. He says to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? You can convince me to be a Christian? You think so? Notice Paul again, he's not overwhelmed by that. He says this in verse 29, very important verse. Short time or long time, I pray. I'm going to pray for you. Because God has to do the work. Agrippa's not convinced. When he says short time or long time, I don't know, but I'm going to pray for you. Maybe the Lord will speak to you tonight, open up your heart. Maybe it's going to take a long time, I don't know. But success in sharing your testimony is that you tell someone about the Lord. Not whether they get converted or not. Success in sharing the gospel or your faith is that you get to tell someone at least a little bit about the gospel. Success isn't if they get converted at all. That's God's work. That's God's time. And that kind of is implied here. God must do the converting. Paul says again, short time or long time, I pray that God, not only you, But all, he's talking again, all who are listening to me today, knows other people are listening. Those servants. They go, go away. And the soldiers, he knows they're listening. He's taking every opportunity to testify about Christ. He wants to be a faithful witness. Not a successful witness, a faithful witness. Okay. So I'll stop with the text here. Let me mention this. Sorry, so small. Just a few practical points to think about. Make sure that your testimony, when you give it, points people to the Lord. Okay, don't make, oh man, I had the worst life in the world. You should have seen me before, man. I did this and I did that and I did that and I did that and I did that and I shouldn't have done that and I did that and I did that. And I'm like, okay, that's great. We don't need to know all your dirty laundry. Because what we're doing is we're really talking about me. I mean, you can mention things sort of depending on how to identify, but don't make that a big deal. Some people can't identify with that, you know. But again, whatever, make sure that the Lord is high and lifted up. Maybe you can say, you know, like, yeah, I did this. I had a really rough life and I didn't do this. And sometimes your own, you want people to know how bad you were. Because it's about you. Because then they're going to think, oh man, I'm not going to mess with that guy or whatever. But the point is, you can say things in such a way, but, you know, I knew somehow that maybe there was no fulfillment in doing certain things. But people won't know how bad I was. It's not about you, okay? It's about the Lord. Start with the Lord and end with the Lord. That's a principle that I encourage the students to live by every day. Start with the Lord in the morning. I know you had quiet time here. End with the Lord. Pray before you go to bed. Start with the Lord, end with the Lord. That's a good principle in your testimony. Start with the Lord, end with the Lord. You know, bring the Lord into the before somehow. Paul does. Pray and then be bold to share your testimony. Remember, young people, that's you, are looking for reality and what's really true in your life. People will listen to you. If you're absolutely sincere and he said, this is true and reasonable, they will listen. They let Paul say all of this because they could tell it was true in his life. Now, it doesn't mean that it's true universally, but at least they'll listen. They're looking. People are looking for reality. I know I was. Aim to use your Bible at some point. Maybe read a verse. If you've got plenty of time with this, maybe read one verse. Like I read one verse to you, Isaiah 43:7. That if you notice, I read one verse. I thought, if I can get that verse in, I created you, Colin, whatever your name is, for my glory. Really? What purpose? Hey, maybe I'll be a sports commentator for the BBC, you know, Euro 2024. Maybe I'll get married, but bigger than any of that, I was created for God's glory. Wow, what does that mean? That should be the steering point of your life. All right. Bring the 4 points of the gospel into your testimony. If you have time, you can bring them in. Try to connect or make relevant your testimony to those that are listening. We've talked about that before. Remember the before, how, and after method. Okay? Before I got saved, before I knew the Lord, how I came to know the Lord, and my life now. And yeah, now I can walk with God. Oh, God's changed my life. Don't preach. Don't be too spiritual. But keep pointing them to the Lord. Remember, this is kind of friendship evangelism is what we're doing. If it is appropriate, ask key questions as you share your testimony. Maybe you want to, you know, bring them in. Because after a while, you're talking to someone like I'm talking to you now. And then someone you're like, if you talk for 45 minutes giving your testimony, probably the person's like, and they say, ask them some questions. Do you think God is real? Do you feel like you're a sinner? I've only ever met one person in my whole life that told me they never sinned. It was a guy in Romania. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess we can't go any further than right now. I'd never, ever sinned. you know, and again, you know, you can say, well, you know, you're lying right now, right? So you're sinning. But anyway, ask appropriate questions to keep them in it. You know, you don't have to just talk a big monologue like I'm doing this morning. Do you ever wonder why you're on this earth? Would you like to know God personally? Those are some questions you can throw out. What are you living for? What do you think you're here for? Who do you think created you? Just ask some of those questions as you give your testimony. Bring them in. Draw them in. You know, it's not just a simple monologue. You can have a little dialogue with the whole thing. All right. Just mention that. And then lastly, I'll just leave that up there. The other big thing I want to encourage you again is you still have time. If you can, speak to your sports captain and share the gospel. Remember the 4 points. God, man or sin, Christ, Jesus Christ, and then a response to that truth, those wonderful truths. All right. I wish we had more time, but we don't. So what I'd like you to do in the couple of minutes we have, let's pray together. So again, turn to the person next to you and pray that the Lord would give you an opportunity to share your testimony with someone. Maybe via text, maybe face-to-face. Maybe amazingly, you actually use your phone to actually call someone, which is, you know, a rare thing these days. But I wouldn't even go maybe write a letter. Do you know what a letter is? Stamps, mailbox. You know those black things at the end of the roads with the flag? Ding. You know what those are? Imagine you got a letter. That's awesome. Anyway, pray with the person next to you that the Lord would give you an opportunity to share your testimony, and I'll close in prayer in a moment. Thank you. For the opportunity to think a little bit, consider a little bit how to share our testimony, how to tell others how you've altered, transformed our lives. Lord, we don't want just to conform, but we want to be transformed. We thank you that you do an eternal work. You take us from darkness to light. And I pray for the young people today. Lord, give them boldness, give them some courage, give them clear thinking in this year to perhaps share the gospel, to perhaps give their testimony. And again, Lord, we would ask you to give us the strength to do so, to give us the understanding to do so. And Lord, help our testimonies be about you. That as we read in the beginning, O Lord, that you must increase and we must decrease. Or you must become more, we must become less. And we thank you, Lord. We just thank you for your patience and your kindness. And Lord, we thank you, our good shepherd, to us. Commit our day to you now in Jesus' name.